It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So, Sean, we were informed to get ready for something on Monday. Brett McMurphy let us all know that the AP poll is coming out on Monday, 96 hours or so away from the reveal of what the media members that generally get made fun of throughout their entire college football season are going to tell us about who is good and who isn't. Okay, sure.
I like the
AP poll. At least I know what number is going to be next to these teams, at least to start the year, because the coaches poll does not have that sway anymore. But
I also don't take it personally. Like, I feel like people get mad because they, like, take it, like, as if it matters. And it, like, only kind of abstractly matters. Like, just in the way of, like, does it influence the CFP?
I do think it does that.
I think
as far as the initial ones, I do believe it has a set.
But also the AP poll, once the CFP starts coming out, the AP poll changes to the CFP
than vice versa. It does switch back. It does switch. But initially, I think a lot of it lines up with what the AP poll thinks of the first, 8 weeks of the season or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So week one or preseason stuff, doesn't matter that much. But as the AP poll starts to maneuver around the actual games played, you know, if they're actually watching the games, and like that one woman who,
from South Florida,
the USF Florida game, and
she was from USC, and it was the USF South Florida game.
So when they start to put their ranks together based off actual events in the season, then certainly you want to take a look at it, because I do think it has at least a part to play in how the initial CFP poll looks. But early on, it's just for fun. And I'm glad we got an alert from Brett McMurphy to let us know.
Hey.
Monday. I won't be here for it. Raheel can talk about it with you. It doesn't seem like something he would do.
No. That's probably more Brian and I.
Yeah, but speed. Raheel's on next Thursday. He's the 20th, right?
Yeah. Kunkel Wednesday, Raheel Thursday.
Yeah.
Brian and I every other day.
Monday. So Brian and Sean will be hosting for me, because I will take a week off as I get recharged for what is supposed to be a great football season.
Yeah. You're gonna use the last bits of energy tomorrow breaking down every play from the Chargers and Texans preseason game.
No, you joke, because it is a joke. I'm not doing that. How many plays will I actually watch?
Watch? Like,
no,
attentively?
Like, watch snap to whistle.
I'll say you get, like, through the first half, maybe.
You're overestimating my ability.
Okay, then, like, 50. That's, like, a quarter of football.
I think the minute that I see five backup offensive linemen for the Texans, I'm out. Whenever that happens, like, how long does Keelan Rutledge play? How long does whoever else they run out there as a starter on the offensive line play? Like, the guys they expect to start week one. After that, I don't need to see Jawar Jordan running behind Evan Brown and Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it is most of the time the skill guys. It's like, once we start, like,
but that's going to start that way. Who's going to start a receiver? Hutchinson and Lewis Bond?
Well, yeah. Are the Iowa State guys too good to play in the first preseason game?
We'll see. I wonder if Higgins, who's at this point their number two, I wonder if he plays.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm old school. I think I started off being more like, these are pointless. But, like, also, if you're going to play, like, what is a second year, fourth-round rookie not playing? Like, a guy who had less than 600 yards receiving last year. Like
six touchdowns, Sean, keeps you out of keeps you out of preseason game one.
Okay, all right.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what the Texans.
It's like the Pelicans guys not playing summer league. It's like, oh, I must have forgot the Pelicans were so.
He was a guy on a playoff team. He ain't exactly the Pelicans. A little insulting.
Yeah, it's more of like why are we even bothering with preseason games if like it is only going to be guys that will not make the team.
People said that, and now a lot of importance now put on joint practices because the starters play
sweet
with each other.
The thing that isn't televised, I'm sure Roger Goodell.
Well, I saw a conversation about why not televise those since the coaches put more importance in those than they do because you don't sell tickets to those.
Yeah, and then eventually, guess what? Enough people start watching that they don't want to play. Well, they don't want to show that. Their aunt.
Well, this is what
they won't even let you take pictures.
Christian Parker, the Cowboys DC, I referenced it before. Talked about how he would follow beat reporters for other teams to gather information, mostly about injuries during the week of actual regular season games. But he would watch videos they would post during preseason just to see if he could gain any information. So there is an example of an actual NFL coach trying to use that as a way to help his team. Whether
I can't imagine
whether it led to anything, I don't know. But he did it. He did say it.
I can't imagine that's a good use of his time. Like
he wasn't a DC at the time.
That is true.
He was at a lower level, but now he's a DC. He might outsource that. We're 3 minutes away. If you want to get in on the listener appreciation party, call Sean with your favorite sounder. Okay, since this is somewhat of a short segment, I want to give you time to answer the phone. Sean, are you aware of the thing that's going viral right now? It's much in line with we used to watch gods play the sport, but this time we used to really have bangers for soundtracks.
Oh, I've seen some. I've seen one or two, yeah.
We're not going to do it today because it's too short of time, but for tomorrow, do we think we can just play all
movie soundtrack?
Movie soundtrack bangers?
Songs made for movies?
Movies, not songs that were
used in movies,
but songs that are made from... Like
very easy.
Chad Kroeger and that other dude for my hero from the first Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2. I forgot what it was. We could stuff like that.
Will Smith, Wild Wild West. Will Smith, Men in Black.
If you choose to, sure. That's up to you. You could go
where he just explains the plot of the movie that he's in.
You could go with Decode from Paramore for Twilight.
Don't want to miss a thing. Armageddon.
That's
second
another
Armageddon mentioned today.
These are the things that we're talking about. Yeah. So we'll do that.
Seal, Kiss from a Rose.
Telling you, we used to have some good ones. Now I don't know one. It's like a lot of Taylor Swift and like Hunger Games stuff.
Yeah, it feels like it's mostly kids' movies
at this
like
point,
Toy
yeah.
Story.
That yeah, stuff
it.
Like that. We don't really get like, although Spider-Man is a kids' movie like, in some ways because it's comics it's comics and people don't respect them. That's all. I don't believe that, but people call it a cartoon or kids' movie. I know how I feel about it. I'm just speaking for others.
All right, don't watch how you talk about my guy Pete. All right,
your guy Pete. Sorry, Miles Morales guy over here. Waiting for that entry into the MCU. Chop, chop. Tom Holland, get that done. All right, we'll go to break, and then we're a minute away from our winner. We'll do that, and then we'll come back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to the reveal of the winner and what they chose. From what I can tell, my enticement didn't work, which is fine with me. I'm glad it didn't. But I did want to...
One less hug.
Thankfully. Did want to let you know, Sean, and anyone else who cares, Night of the Seven Kingdoms Season 2 is officially wrapped. It's in the can. We'll see how the editing goes. We're looking at first half of 2027.
That's how TV used to be done, folks.
What are we doing waiting 2 years? Let's go.
I get it. There's a lot of CGI dragons.
Yes.
For this one show, I get it.
Yeah.
For the House of the Dragon,
yes.
I get it.
This show, the one... A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms has no dragons.
The whole point, they don't have dragons.
Yes, that's part of the reason why the Targaryen's power is slipping away. No dragons. So, first half of 2027.
Just guys at Ren Faire outfits, basically.
Well, I think they're going to be more on the road in season two, particularly if we go by what
season one. It was just
one location. They went from one
different tents,
one pub to the tourney, and that's where they stayed. We'll see if season two has in store for the boys, Dunk and Egg. And along those lines of HBO prestige television, Lanterns is premiering, as we talked about, getting big reviews. Like, we're talking better than anyone thinks it should be, according to people who have seen it. So, James Gunn, I mean, you've had some whiffs, I would say. I don't know that Supergirl or Superman are bad movies. I just don't think they did what they're supposed to do.
It's more of like Marvel's down. There's
got
some drops of blood.
Yeah, but Spider-Man.
Just whoop. Never mind.
But you had a window, and then Spider-Man popped up, and now the window seems closed.
It's like when the Rockets or any team would play like the peak Golden State Warriors, where it's like you're playing like perfect basketball for it to be like a 3-point game at halftime. And then in the third quarter, they just go out and just beat you by 30.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
But
cool.
But except,
this game's not close anymore.
But except it wasn't perfect basketball for James.
It was
Gunn.
More like they just woke up and found themselves down three at halftime, or up three at halftime. They're like, oh, my God, we got a chance tonight, boys.
Yeah. Turns out, as long as Spider-Man exists, chances are limited. No.
Spider-Man and then X-Men is like the Nas button.
If Marvel does X-Men right, pack up, James Gunn. Unless you got a great Batman, and we don't know about it yet, because the Batman is delayed. You mentioned how this is how TV used to go.
This is not how movies used to
no,
go.
Batman is like, hey, you want to wait 6 years? Yeah. You can wait 6 years.
For 40-year-old Batman in year two of being
Batman. Emo Batman's now 40 years old. Okay, we'll see how it goes. But Lanterns, apparently good, and it premieres on Sunday.
Hey, you know?
On HBO Max.
A comeback starts with one bucket, all right?
And if it has to come from Coach Taylor and Rebel Ridge himself?
Mr. Rebel Ridge.
Mr. Rebel Ridge and Coach Taylor, let it be. So, the reveal. We picked our winner.
Yes.
Who is it?
Hector.
What did Hector choose as his favorite end of show sounder?
We did it!
I do like the original
being
brought to the forefront. Yeah. I do like that. So, thank you, Hector. We'll see you at the party. And have a good time. Nymphas and Ducky McSweeney's are the two confirmed food providers. The restaurants that'll be there, we'll see what else will happen. But those two are plenty good enough.
If Ducky's is bringing their buffalo chicken sandwich, watch out, folks.
I mean,
your over under for hugs was 2.5.
Sandwiches for you?
It might be 2.5.
Get there early.
I mean, it's probably catering, so it's a little bit smaller.
Sure.
But yeah.
Sean,
we get at the restaurant.
Sean, because we have a busy day that day. We're going to be at the Golden Nugget as part of our fancy draft festivities.
Yep.
We'll be there from 10 to 12 to close out our time there. And then we have to drive back for the listener appreciation party. Not explicitly that.
And to go back home.
Just go back home. But then we'll have a bit of a rest. And then we'll go to the listener appreciation party. Sean, if it works out, perhaps doesn't even drive home because he'll be planted waiting for those Ducky McSweeney sandwiches if he finds out that they're going
to
be there.
I'll have to make a stop somewhere, but yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I can intermittently fast until 6:30.
But be there early if the sandwiches are there. I don't have any confirmation, but the Ducky McSweeney's will be there and the food sandwiches are not. It's good. So we're going to take care of you. And, of course, St. Arnold's going to be providing beverages. I don't think they're going to be complimentary. But you guys know what St. Arnold provides. So if you're into a good beer, they're going to have that for you as well. Let's get to a different Sean, a caller Sean. He wants to talk about movie soundtracks. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, fellas? So two that need to be on the list are Young Guns 2 with Bon Jovi. And Batman, the Michael Keaton Batman, was nothing but Prince. That's got to be one of the most badass things ever. He did the whole soundtrack. And you think you're cool? You give a write a whole soundtrack for Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson and Kim Basinger with Tim Burton? No, you're not that cool. Prince was that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks, Sean. I don't know that anyone is going to win that I'm cool thing when Prince is your competitor. It's not a winning proposition. So we do have some suggestions. If you don't know what Sean was referencing, there's an internet trend or viral trend on Twitter or X where people are remembering past songs from movie soundtracks, songs that were made for the movie. And we used to be in an era of kings of or in queens, legendary music, strictly for the movie. So we're going to do that tomorrow, and those are Sean's suggestions. I don't know if we can play the entire Prince album. We only have so many breaks.
No, I'll probably just do the one from the museum scene.
Yeah.
That's probably all I got. But
so if you want to get in on that, because once
it's
today's
filling up.
There's a lot to choose from.
From between our conversation and
remember, Michael Carroll will join us, so one of the rejoins is dedicated to that segment.
True.
So we only have really like, you know what? Top of the 11 o'clock hour, don't use the open. Use a song.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll
that was good, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Sean's on this game. I didn't need to say it. So we'll do that to give us and you as many opportunities as you can to hear some of the bangers from the past. Okay, I did want to get to this regarding the Texans. They have their game tonight against the Chargers. We'll see how many people play that we care about. But leaning into that, now this does come from a Canadian website, so choose to believe it or not. They did a survey of NFL fans, 5,000 of them across 32 teams. And they, after polling these fans, put a ranking together of the fan bases with the most hope. Who do you think's first, Sean? Fan bases considered the most hopeful, most optimistic about this season.
Rams?
The Rams are two. It's the Chiefs.
Huh. Okay.
Having Patrick Mahomes probably does that for you.
Okay.
The top four are Chiefs, Rams, and Seahawks tied at two, and then Eagles at three.
Wow. Wow.
Which, considering that city, is surprising.
Yeah, but normally it's like after the first loss is when
blood
starts flowing.
Yeah. Where do you think Texan fans are on the optimistic scale?
It's tough because I feel like it really just hinges on like if you're Team Stroud, if you're a Stroud optimist, or if you're just like get this guy out of here. Which there are some people, but I would say they're the overwhelming negativity regarding quarterback is the minority opinion. So I'll go top 10.
No.
Bottom 10? Or are they like
right in the middle,
16?
Which has been the Texans' kind of history, it feels like, at times.
All right, there we go.
17th. But I say 17th, but there are teams that are tied.
I'm sure.
So it only actually goes to 29 because there are several teams that are tied. Like I mentioned, the Rams and the Seahawks and the Chargers and the Patriots are tied at 7. And the Colts and Dolphins are tied at 26. So the Texans come in right at 17 as far as fans, the most hopeful or optimistic about their team this year.
Who are they tied with?
Oh, the Texans aren't tied.
But
the other teams are tied. So I don't have – it's not ranked 1 through 32. Okay. It's 1 through 29.
The Who's Texans the wind up spot 17. Ahead of them?
The other Texas team.
Cowboys?
Cowboys fans. Which is weird considering it's Cowboy fans.
I feel like they should be more optimistic.
Are they more
more optimistic?
Are they more reasonable now? Have Cowboy fans become more reasonable, or Schottenheimer not invoking much confidence?
I don't know.
To be 16th, considering Cowboy fans, at least the ones we deal with or call in or get berated by John, seem more optimistic than they should normally.
Yeah, and it like
And they have a
good offense. Off-season.
Yeah.
They had a good
Caleb
offense.
Caleb Downs is showing out in camp.
Yeah.
They got the hottest name for defensive coordinator in Christian Parker. So.
Yeah.
And they got Quinnen Williams last season. They gave him a big deal. Micah Parsons got to be like, I'm the only one.
Yeah.
I'm literally the only guy they won't give money to. At least the money I wanted. So Quinnen Williams is locked in. As far as the AFC South is concerned, the Jaguars have the most optimistic fan base in the AFC South. They come in at 12 behind the Lions.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, the Colts tied at 26th. The least optimistic fan base in all of football, the New York Jets fans, that's history on their head, and Aaron Glenn last year and the team on their head makes a lot of sense with the Browns and the Titans right above them.
Okay.
Titans have a young quarterback.
Yeah, Titans. Come on.
Draft the Carnell Tate.
Come on, Titans. Come on, Titans fans. Get a little excited. Get a little pep in your step.
Sorry, not for them.
You can win 6 games this year. Damn it.
Look at the schedule. We'll see. Because something came out, I'm going to try to find it, where it didn't do an over-under on number of total wins. It was over-under on division wins. The Texans, I think, came in at like 4.
Okay, yeah.
And the highest was 4.5. I believe that was maybe the Bills or the Patriots. I forgot which AFC East team had it. But the Texans right up there as far as how people think they're going to do in the division. And if you're 4-2, you would look at maybe a trip to Jacksonville as a loss.
Yeah, split with Jacksonville and the Colts, sweep the Titans.
Sweep the Titans seems like it makes a lot of sense. And 4-2 falls right in line with that. All right. Not as optimistic, at least according to this Canadian website. The Texans fans.
What do they
17.
Know? What do they know I don't about know. American football?
Focus on the Oilers or something.
Yeah.
Not the Tennessee.
Yeah. Try to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
right?
Focus on the Edmonton Oilers. How you optimistic about the Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah. Yeah. The Cowboys have won a Super Bowl more recently than
a Canadian team has won a Stanley Cup. Yeah, that really puts it in perspective.
Get on that.
Yeah. The Cowboys, a team that is all about their past.
Yeah.
Still more recently than you guys.
That entire country.
They had Barry Switzer as their coach and won a Super Bowl. You guys still haven't won one. Losing titles to the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Knights.
I don't know.
Get out of here,
it would
Canada.
Eat me alive if I was a Canadian.
They will comfort themselves with... A lot of these teams are full of Canadians.
Sure. Oh, yeah. We should actually get a team full of USA players and a team versus...
How did that work out?
A bunch of Canadian
players.
How'd
that work out?
Oh!
That was the Olympics, right?
Yeah. USA, baby.
Both men's and women's.
Boom.
Took you guys out.
In your head.
And none of this dual national stuff.
No.
Like around soccer.
No those funny business.
People born in Wisconsin and Minnesota taking you guys out. And I'm sure upstate New York, too. Good luck, Canada.
And aren't the someone is from St. Louis, right? The
Kachucks.
Yeah, because he has the picture of Jason Day.
Yeah, their dad played for those St. Louis Blues for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where they're from. They're Americans, and they take you out, Canada. You know what? Honestly, they're probably right on the poll for all this yelling at them. And there are some Texan fans who ain't sure about CJ, as you pointed out. All right, we'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Bates.
We'll talk movies and television with that gentleman you just heard tomorrow. 11:30, Michael Carroll will join us, the host of Comicast. You can hear that podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and also here on ESPN 97.5. So we talked about the Canadian website's survey of Texans fans being the 17th most optimistic fan base in football.
Being like also like kind of most, you know, 17th isn't crazy.
Yeah. Let's hear from an American national perspective on the reason why some Texan fans may be less than optimistic about the chances this year. Not the contract one, because as I think I said very early in the show, I think I'm done with that. Until it happens, who cares? It's just all fluff and talk. Who cares? What about the effects of a awful playoff run? What could it mean to the confidence of the quarterback? Here's Bill Barnwell. He's doing it with Dan Hanses, who was formerly of, I think, NFL.com/NFL Network. But here's Bill Barnwell on that podcast asking the question and invoking a name that I didn't want to hear, because that name left Houston in a way that you don't want CJ Stroud to. Here is Bill Barnwell.
How confident are we that there's not like some serious psychological effects from CJ Stroud being so awful?
It happens
in the postseason. Like, I'm not saying it never happens, but I think about another Texans quarterback in Matt Schaub, where he was fine, And then suddenly there was a stretch where Matt Schaub could not stop throwing pick sixes on a weekly basis. And I wrote about how, well, this is unlikely to keep occurring. There's no track record of this. And then he kept doing it. And then he got benched and he was never a starter in the NFL again. I'm not saying it's going to happen to CJ Stroud necessarily, but is he going to be pushing early in the year, to your point? Is he going to be saying, hey, I have to be careful with the football because the last time I wasn't careful with the football, it cost my team a potential trip to the Super Bowl. I do think, you know, we're only human beings and CJ Stroud has played a lot of football, but that was a very conspicuous time to melt down, whether it was the weather, but even the Steelers game, it wasn't like the weather was awful in the Steelers game and he was awful against
Pittsburgh.
Remember
his end zone pick in that game? It was just like a guy trying to do too much.
I'm not looking for Matt Schaub comparisons. I don't like it. It's not good. It is simply one man saying it, but even the thought. Yeah. I'm out. I'm out on that.
No, because that team went 2-14.
That team was thought to be good, too. Like, they're coming off a playoff appearance, coming off a divisional round loss, which is what we have certainly become accustomed to.
Yes, which just means they made the playoffs.
Yes, that's who they are. You know, there have been a couple times. You lose the Chiefs at home, you lose the Colts at home. But for the most part.
At that point in history, they either lost in the divisional round or
didn't make the playoffs.
Were terrible.
Yes. Hey, Bill Barnwell, cut it out. No Schaub comps. That is not an avenue I want to go down because it means absolute disaster.
Yeah. Can I? I'm afraid I will have to make this uncomfortable, though, Del.
Huh.
I can kind of see where he's coming from. I can kind of. Because CJ Stroud did melt down in that game.
He did.
He did have. Like, that was. And it's the last time we saw him. I'm not full on like this guy cries, so you can't believe in him as a quarterback. But he does get rattled.
You think there's maybe some emotional instability?
As far as
football is concerned, yeah, I'm talking about him in general. But.
Yeah, even like when there do seem to be games where like things aren't going well, and it just kind of snowballs.
He doesn't pull himself out of it.
Yeah,
there isn't
a
flip.
And so I've just been thinking about it. Where it's like, what if he is just like, what if he's just different now? Like, it just like, you know, either it can go either way, you know, and it's possible that it's just like, he just is not the same anymore. I don't know. I don't know if that's like probable. I wouldn't say that. I just think it's a thing we cannot know until he gets back out there. But it is on the table. That
it's not
just
out of the question.
Or that he's pressing too much. And then, because I think that's what kind of happened in the Patriots game, is that he tried to, like, was trying to be more aggressive to get it back.
Sure.
And it kept backfiring. That, like, is he going to try go out there and, like, oh, I'm going to make my money. I'm going to make my $60 million. You know, like, I don't know. You know, I think it's fair to bring it up that it's, we don't know.
I guess the other side of it is, does he, after watching what happened, go into a shell where it's not the overly aggressive quarterback who's trying to prove?
Yeah, or he's too careful.
He's too conservative. He becomes a guy who won't take any risk because the conversations all offseason, I don't know if he's hearing them, he may be hearing some of them, are about all he's got to do is take care of the ball. He takes care of the ball. With this defense, we're going to run the ball. There's no proof they're going to, but that's the theory. We're going to win as long as he doesn't screw stuff up.
Yeah.
So does he go the opposite? And he goes, you know what? And we've heard him, it became a conversation this morning on the morning show. We've heard him talk about finding the balance between who he believes he is or always been told he was because of where he played college football and he was a star at a high school, and not being a guy who believes he needs to put it all on his shoulders and be a Superman and allow others to carry some of the weight for him on that offense. I don't know that the Texans have enough guys on offense that he can look to that. There's one star on offense right now.
Yeah, he might. It's like a thing. Like in some games, he might have to be Superman.
Can he be? And is he capable of doing it right now? And even being Superman, I mean, if your offensive line is your kryptonite because you're getting drilled,
that too is
Superman still can lose a fight even if he is at the peak of his powers, as long as kryptonite is available.
Mahomes was going to miss the playoffs last year. Like, before he got hurt, like, they were going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, that team wasn't good enough around him to help.
And it's Patrick freaking Mahomes.
And it's Mahomes. Yeah. So, I don't, like, I am not someone throwing it all on CJ, but I heard Bill Barnwell, and maybe I don't like it because because it rung true a little bit.
Yeah, it is an uncomfortable truth that
this is possible.
It is possible, and in a way, like if he does have a Matt Schaub regular season, in a way, it's kind of easier because you can go, all right, don't have to bam.
It's true.
See you later, dude.
Because the other conversation, or at least part of the conversation they had, was about a contract and what the Texans should be willing to do. And
the worst case scenario is that he has exactly last season again.
And then in that scenario, Dan Hans has said, just play him on the fifth-year option, which makes things very uncomfortable.
That is uncomfortable.
But that might be.
I don't want that.
Yes.
Personally, just also as like a we have to talk about a thing, I don't want to have to talk about that.
Understood. It's best for all parties if we get an answer this year.
Yes or no.
For the Texans, for the fans, for CJ, and for this show.
Yes. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I need Commodus. I don't need you wavering like that gift does. I need Commodus to go one way or the other. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
And
I don't need to I don't need to go into the cards. You know, I just knock out either way.
You don't need a decision. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Let's get it over with. Pull off the I've seen you wouldn't be the first quarterback that people believed in the city to then immediately fall apart.
There have been different reasons for it. It would be a different reason for CJ, but yeah. You know what? You know, and it speaks to why this team hasn't been able to get to a point beyond the divisional round. The guy kind of quickly turns into not the guy at quarterback. We've had two. We don't know about the third. We've had two guys at points who people thought, oh, we got a guy.
Yeah.
Quickly turn into not being the guy.
Yeah.
In disastrous ways.
Yeah.
Different disasters.
And neither of them are really like tier one kind of.
No.
Like, you know, like.
They were bordering tier two-ish. And Deshaun, there was some belief that he could elevate certainly.
Yeah. And then to that point. The organization fell apart around him.
Yeah.
And then also he allegedly did some stuff.
Well, he quit on the team before that stuff came out anyway.
Yes.
He goes, I don't want
the team crumbled around him before that. Like, the Texans failed Deshaun Watson before he failed America.
Well, and him, certainly. Deshaun Watson decided, I'll take your money, but I'm not playing for you.
Yeah.
And then things.
We all know what happened.
Things, turned into a different story after that. Peña, you want to talk of all things? Well, I'll let it be a surprise when we come back. We'll talk to Peña and anyone else in the final segment. That number is 713-780-3776.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Let's get to Peña here. Peña's calling in. Considering the subject that's written, I don't know how this is going to go because it's Peña, but he joins the show now. What's up?
Yo, what up, Del? Hey, real quick before I get to what I want to talk about, I'm pretty sure you've heard the saying, like, dog owners are, the dogs are have pretty much the same characteristic, whatever. So they act pretty much like the owner.
Yeah.
And the way you John and Lance closed talking about Lance's dog, how if you feed him, he's happy, he's loyal to you. You think you're the best human in the world. It's pretty much like Lance. It can't be any more spitting image of that. You feed Lance, he's gonna think you're the best in the world.
That's true.
And I want to talk about the WNBA. How do you like rookie sensation? She's gonna win the rookie of the year. How do you like Caleb McSweeney going for 20.5 rebounds today? Thank you. Have a great day.
Oh boy, that's not where I thought it was going.
This is the first time this question's been asked in the history, or at least in the last week of WNBA basketball.
That's not where I thought it was going, and it's the one avenue where I don't have an answer for you. I don't even have anything to say. I can't
over
or under. There.
No, over.
Make
Peña.
A choice.
Over.
Make a choice. Over. He says over. Sean does. I say under. Make a choice. I don't know, man. I can be honest and say I don't know. I don't know her rebounding totals overall. I don't know how she does against this opponent she's about to face. I hope she does well. I hope whatever bet, whatever side you take works out for you. All I got for you as far as that's concerned. shout out to Pena for joining the show with the least likely question. Well, the betting thing I could have seen coming on WNBA rebounds. Got nothing. But try again tomorrow with anything. We'll see if we're more prepared for that. Let's go to something I do have some familiarity with. Pettiness. I think we can put Jaden Daniels on Team Petty All-Pro.
Yeah.
I think he belongs on first team Team Petty All-Pro.
Preseason watch list.
Like Bruce Feldman has his freak list.
Yeah, petty list.
If he had a petty list, he put Jaden Daniels on this. You don't know the story. Former LSU star, Jaden Daniels, now playing for the Commanders, is upset with his, I don't know if he graduated. I was going to say alma mater. I'm not sure. Maybe he did. Because they're now giving his number away to a highly touted recruit from the previous recruiting cycle. Is it DJ Pickett? I think his name is I know his last name was Pickett. It's DJ Pickett. He was a five-star playing at LSU. 6'4 corner. That's right. 6'4 corner. Unique. 6'4 cornerback. He was a freshman last year, and he is now going to wear the number 5, which was the number for Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels doesn't like it. Apparently, DJ Pickett was promised that number when he was a recruit. He was unable to get the number last year because Brian Kelly was the coach. Brian Kelly has been asked about this. We've had two LSU coaches ask about a number dispute because Jaden Daniels is suing, or at least asking for a cease and desist when it comes to his NIL with LSU. He had an agreement with LSU that they could only use his name, image, and likeness for 180 days after he left the school. Apparently because, you know, things were on good terms, he didn't enforce that, but now that things are on bad terms, he wants them to stop. He can't stop them from giving away his number.
No.
Even though he'd like them not to.
That's literally not his name injury.
No. Like, so that is not up for debate.
Yes.
But he does want them to stop using his images, I guess, and stuff around campus as a promotion for the program.
So like 2023 Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels, like, mural has to go down?
I guess. I don't know how far he wants to take this.
Like in the Hall of Fame?
But this apparently simply comes from the fact that all of the other LSU Heisman winners don't have their number issued. Joe Burrow, the most recent one, number 9, is not given to an LSU player. There's no official announcement about it, but it's just understood.
Yeah.
No one's getting number 9. I think Billy Cannon is the other one, where his number's not given out. LSU does have some retired numbers, but they stopped with a thing where they would stop issuing the number if the number got retired after a certain year. But Billy Cannon is one of them where that number's not being worn.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's another one, and Daniels is asking, hey, I'm a Heisman winner too. Why not me? And people are using, hey, Joe Burrow led the 2019 team to a title. It's a little different. They accomplished the ultimate goal. If you just go by how LSU has treated other numbers, whether he should be suing them is one thing. But if you're a little perturbed, it's okay, it's fine. But also, come on. Is it that big of a deal
that you
need to draw your ex-university into this thing
where you are
taking them to court over NIL? And I don't even know what the case is, if the 180-day agreement is over, can you just say, hey, guys, don't do it, and they have to stop? But he would like a cease and desist there because they disrespected him, according to the article written about it. You know what, man? If you're a Commanders fan, you're like, bro, we want you healthy. We know when you're healthy, you're pretty good. Can we just do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Daniels fan.
I still can't really get over the 180 days thing to be like, you got 180 days.
Yeah. The Daniels
fan. And then you got to take all my stuff down.
So the thing is, in the statement, the Daniels family is deeply disappointed and feels profoundly disrespected by LSU's decision to give Jaden's number to another player. Jade and his family had every reason to believe that his number would remain a meaningful part of his LSU legacy and would be honored and protected in the recognition of his extraordinary contribution to the university. I mean, there's one read when you hear the Daniels family, you're like, some people are like, oh, mom's at it again.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know that to be the case. I don't know. I don't know where this is stemming from.
Yeah.
But Booker Pickett gets the number, and Jaden and his family don't like it. What Kiffin said was the situation that was promised him, DJ, in recruiting here was for him to sign here and he would get that number. I've done a lot of research on that with the family and the representatives and the people. So really, I didn't have a decision to make. It was promised to the kid. It was done for whatever reason in terms of the promise. I'm not going to get into that.
So this is, again, just the only permanently retired number it says they have
is Burt Jones.
Oh, I'm no. They, oh, they. Billy oh,
sorry, they plan to retire another quarterback's number, Burt Jones, this season.
Yeah,
but here are the jerseys. Four of his former players: Cannon, number 20; Tommy Casanova, great name; Jerry Stovall, and running back Charles Alexander. But like you said, the only one that's permanently retired.
Yeah,
because I think those
are the honored jerseys that like the best player from Louisiana wears number 7 type of stuff, so, and like number 4 and like. Like, those have, like, meanings to them.
Yeah, because of different things.
Like,
yeah.
Number 9 is not actually retired.
It's not retired. It's just understood that no one gets that number because yeah. Joe Burrow wore it.
And most importantly, why I looked this up, number 5 is also not retired. It yes. is just, like, an agreement.
That is what Jaden Daniels apparently is taking issue with.
We had a deal.
The deal with Joe Burrow should be the deal with me. Why is my number being given out and Joe's number is not being given out? Perhaps because Brian Kelly didn't promise number 9 to someone to get him.
No one's like, yeah, give me 9 for LSU.
Yeah, I don't know.
No one at LSU's like, give me number 9.
It could be as simple as Booker Pickett or DJ Pickett said. I keep saying Booker because he has a brother who plays college football too, a recent recruit. DJ Pickett might have said, if I don't get this number, you might have a conversation about me staying at LSU. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what pressure was put on LSU to do it, but it has been done, and the Daniels family isn't thrilled. Let's get to Julian. Who wants to talk about this, and then we'll wrap it up. What's up, Julian?
Well, fellas, you hit on it. When it says the Daniels family, come on, man. Who runs that show? Who's his agent? Who is leading him, guiding him? You know, it's cool that he put so much into his mom, the trust and all that. Great, right? It's a good relationship. But I feel like maybe, just maybe, take a step back, young lady. Chill out. He played, not you. I don't know. I mean, it's weird. Have a good one.
This is the sentiment I was talking about. I don't know what to believe on that, but what he just said is what some people believe. It does stem from, the Juju stuff, where she was sitting right next to Jaden as he was having a good time with Juju at USC. Not Schuster, by the way.
No, Watkins. Future comment.
Yeah, we can only hope. All right, we're done for the day. Thank you to Julian for calling in. Anyone else who called in? I don't remember all the names, but we appreciate you too. We'll give away one more, at least for this week, one more listener appreciation party spot tomorrow on the show. Sean, since we're done for the day, what's it going to be?
The Astros are the cockroaches of baseball.
A game and a half up, thanks to small ball. Sacrifice Flies got it done yesterday against the Giants to take that series. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.